You're listening to audio from Citizens Church, located in Plano, Texas. For more information about this ministry or to give to this ministry, please visit citizenschurch.com.
Hey guys, welcome to Recovery here at Citizens Church. Yeah, okay. Hey, if you're joining us for the first time, my name is Michael Snetzer, and I'm responsible as the pastor for Recovery, and it's my honor just to be able to welcome you here on behalf of Citizens Church. I see some new faces, some faces that are a face or two that it's been a little while since I've had the opportunity to see you, and so it's good to have you back. And for those of you who are joining us for the first time, a special welcome. We are in, I can say now, the middle of a series called Rebuilding the Walls. And so, I think this is our fourth message, something like that. This week, we're going to be talking about a topic called anxiety, which I'm sure none of us can relate to, right? Maybe not all of us are in the anxiety group, but I think it's something that touches each one of our lives, whether we're in the chemical dependency group or the grief, suffering, and loss group or the marriage struggles group. And so I'm trusting that it'll be a meaningful time for each of us. Just to tell you a little bit about our ministry, if this is the first time that you're joining us, we are a ministry that is for men and women pursuing redemption in Christ from the otherwise enslaving interplay of sin and suffering. We are a gospel-centered ministry, meaning that we talk a lot about Jesus, and we believe that there are some distinctives of a gospel-centered ministry that are different than the type of recovery that's offered by the world. And one of the things that we say is that we think that it is dangerous to focus just on a single issue. What we want to do is whole person discipleship, meaning that if I'm struggling with chemical dependency, I probably also should look at some of the kindling for that, like anxiety, if I'm going to hope not to get that fire started again. So with that, our teaching tonight is going to be on anxiety. Last week we taught on what the culture understands as codependency, and then we related to that to the bigger idea within Scripture that's called the fear of man. And so that's just a particular type of fear, okay? And so we're going to talk more broadly just in fear in general or anxiety in general tonight. And I'm not going to be teaching, so this is as much as you've got to hear from me. Eric Langmack is going to come up. Eric, come on up. Eric helps lead our anxiety and depression group. He has just been so faithful. He doesn't even live anywhere close to the church. He probably works closer to the church, maybe.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, okay. So he drives long distances to serve here, and he is so faithful to be here each and every week, and he just has such a heart to serve those who have struggled and struggle in the same ways that he has and continues to battle in his own life. So he's going to both teach tonight and share aspects of his testimony that are related to our topic. So I am going to pray for you, and then I'm going to hand it over to you. Lord, I thank you for a night where we can just open our doors to the community and to stand in truth and to speak in love and to be a ministry to the weak and the wounded, the strayed, the lost, the addicted, the afflicted, the abused, the confused. Lord, I thank you for Eric and just his heart to minister to the broken places of those that you have brought here. He does that well. He cares well. And so, Lord, would you use him tonight to speak your truth? And would you prepare our hearts? Would you prepare hearts that would receive, Lord, and that we would see how the gospel influences our lives in such a way that begins to bring freedom from this otherwise enslaving thing called anxiety? Lord, we entrust this time to you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Michael. Like Michael said, I do not live anywhere close to here, nor do I live anywhere close to where I work. I live up in South Meade, which is west of Sherman. Yes, I'm closer to Oklahoma than I am here. I drive, about an hour and a half to work each day down in Richardson. So a lot of time me and God, a lot of time thinking about life. Sometimes that's helpful, sometimes not so much. For those of you that are new today, welcome. As you are probably anxious and trying to figure out what's going on, I'm up here anxious as well. So we are in the same boat together, and can kind of put you at ease there. Yeah, awesome. All right, so like Michael said, we are continuing rebuilding the walls. So truth and love. Can't have one without the other to do things well. You can have truth, you can have love, but if you don't have the combination of two, you are not going to be able to connect fully with someone. Matthew 5, 13 through 14, something that kind of has been headlining this whole series, you're the salt of the earth. So we are all different and have different ways of being able to step into other people's lives, be that light. You might have access to people in situations that I don't have access to, or the person sitting next to you. So you're an individual special beacon, and so want to just reaffirm that in you as well. All right, we're going to start off. So who am I and why am I talking about anxiety? Well, I have suffered with anxiety since I was 18. We'll get to a little bit later, but I probably was not diagnosed until about 25, 26. So, 6, 8 years of living through anxiety, not knowing what it was, not knowing how to handle it, how to approach it. Like Michael said, I helped lead the anxiety and depression group with Miss Janai Talkington. Woo, there she is. And so we're just going to go on this journey together. So what is anxiety? First, we're going to start looking at what does culture, what does the world define anxiety as? So first thing is apprehension, uneasiness, or nervousness, usually over an impending or anticipated ill. I like to think, what can go wrong? That's kind of the starting block of that snowball effect. Also, abnormal, overwhelming sense of apprehension and fear, often marked by physical signs such as tension, sweating, high pulse rate, by doubt concerning the reality and nature of a threat, and by self-doubt about one's capacity to cope with it. So right here, Merriam-Webster is already saying, hey, this is something that we can't control ourselves. There's a situation going on that we don't know what to do because we can't handle it ourselves. And secular culture is already calling that out. And we'll get to that in a bit in scripture. Mayo Clinic, which is near and dear to my heart because I'm from Minnesota, they define anxiety as the feeling of anxiety and panic interfere with daily activities, are difficult to control, and are out of proportion to the actual danger and can last a long time. You may avoid places or situations to prevent these feelings. Symptoms may start during childhood or the teen years and continue into adulthood. Key one, I like to look at that, and they already are seeing and pointing out part of our sin nature, avoidance. How many times, whether it's anxiety, anger, sexual struggles, chemical dependency, do we try and avoid the problem rather than heading towards it? One of my favorite analogies, that's kind of started the first go-around of anxiety. It's a little bit of a farm analogy, but I'm from the country, so it works. When storms come through, cows will try and get as far away from the storm as possible. They just want to avoid it. What happens when it rains? They are stuck in that rain that entire time. Whereas buffalo will turn and head into that storm. They're still dealing with the same rain, but they get through it a lot quicker because they're willing to sacrifice that short term to get through the struggle. Here are some causes that the world will say about anxiety. Sometimes it can be medical, if you have respiratory issues, thyroid, chemical withdrawal. So chemical dependency withdrawal can help bring on anxiety as your body's trying to regulate. Sometimes they'll say it's genetic, it can be passed down, there's a chemical imbalance in your brain. Additional risk factors, trauma, stress, mental health disorders, drug and alcohol use, etc. So I mentioned I started having anxiety when I was 18. I didn't know it was anxiety at the time. I was a freshman in college. I thought I was the bee's knees. I was a freshman playing on the college soccer team of a school that had like 400 kids total. Like, we're not talking D1, we're not talking SMU, we're talking tiny, middle of nowhere, Minnesota private school, absolutely nothing. But I thought I was the bee's knees because that's where my identity was. As college athletes, we would travel from game to game, both the male team and the female team. Same bus, save money, all that jazz. So I got to know one of the girls on the freshman soccer team. Shocker. We got to come really close, started dating. About 3 months in, I met someone else at the college. Again, remember, very small, 400 people. I started talking to her. Bad idea. Word of our conversations got to my girlfriend at the time, and that's when my body just said, what's going on? I completely freaked out, as expected, of my sin. All of the freshman girls and some of the sophomores who all lived in the same exact two-story dorm would not talk to me. Who is this slime ball, Eric, who's talking to multiple people? So with that, I didn't know how to process that. I was not raised in a place where it was okay to talk about feelings, talk about experience, kind of flesh things out. Even though I grew up in the church, I didn't know how to handle this. And I had my first anxiety attack. My body shut down completely to the point where I could not keep food down, or if I was able to get it down, it was not being absorbed properly into my body. So I went about 6-7 months dealing with that. I'd be in bed, I would struggle to get to class because I had no energy, didn't have any food in me. Get to class, make my mandatory attendance, get back home to my dorm room, and just try and sleep it off. So amidst that, we tried to figure out what was going on with my body. Again, did not know it was anxiety at the time. I went to the local clinic. They did blood work, we did EKGs, full tests, everything came back normal. Of course, because my body wasn't physically doing anything. The anxiety had crippled my entire system. So the world will say, like, okay, how do you prevent anxiety? You know, you'll see medical professionals, stay active, avoid drugs and alcohol. I was trying to stay active, I was avoiding drugs and alcohol. I was not seeing counselor, I was going to see regular medical professionals. Treatment for anxiety in that would be counseling, medication, and physical activity. Here is what I looked July of 2009. That is me, let's see, September to July. 8-9 months of not keeping any food in my body. I was barely over 100 pounds at the same height that I am now. which in comparison to today, in my not so great still physique, that's 80 pounds less than this. So as I was trying to figure out what was going on with my body, I had to end up removing myself from college. I could not live in the dorms. I couldn't eat dorm food. I was drinking Ensure like I was a two-year-old to try and get any sort of nutrients to stick into my body. Ended up making the decision to move home and try and figure out school from there. So with that, I packed up all my stuff. And as I walked out the door for the last time with my last laundry basket of things, I got a call on my phone from my former youth pastor saying, "Hey, I know you're in the area. You come back sometimes. I'm thinking about planning a church. Would you like to come help?" I was like, "Well, I'm moving home. I have nothing else going on, nothing else to do. Sure, I'll try and help. You know, I'll pitch in and see what I can do." That, while a helpful situation, did not turn into a situation where I was able to process my anxiety properly. So up on the screen shows some of the things that and ways that the church has misspoken about anxiety. Christians don't get anxious or depressed. If a Christian is anxious or depressed, there's something wrong with that person's faith. You're just not trusting God enough. Taking medication is a sin. Counseling is unnecessary. And the presence of anxiety and depression imply that the person is not struggling well. And I was not struggling well. So during that, I still have not sought any medical or any professional assistance, any counseling, anything like that. My wife and I, who had just been married for 3-4 months after knowing each other for 9 months, we go all in the Langmack household. We were engaged after like 4 or 5 months. She knew after date 2 that I was the one. Thankfully, she didn't tell me. I would have ran for the hills. We moved to Texas. We move at 6 months pregnant. We are living in an extended family member's spare room on an air mattress. No real place to live. Child on the way. For the first time, I have a full-time job with benefits. Up in Minnesota, I was working 4 part-time jobs to try and make ends meet. The day Sarah Beth, who's my daughter, was born, we drove to the hospital. Things were okay. I was okay. I had started to recover some. I was still dealing with anxiety, but it wasn't crippling me anymore. We showed up to the hospital. It's a Friday night. We get settled in our room. I turn on the TV, watch the FC Dallas game against Seattle in the playoffs, second game of the series. Shockingly, FC Dallas lost. As a Minnesotan, I understand the struggle. It's okay. We haven't won anything since 91. But you guys got the Rangers this past year, so we'll give you the props there. That evening, I ate McDonald's. I was in there watching the game ended, and I was physically sick again. No reason why, no idea, I was sick. For the next 6 weeks, I consistently was in worse shape than my wife, who had just had a C-section. And as someone who tries their hardest to provide, that is an extremely tough pill to swallow. She was giving birth, and I was in the bathroom of her hospital room trying not to throw up. The next day, after Sarah Beth was born, we signed on our first house. All of our packings are in a shipping container, pretty much, a pod. So in this sickness, I have to force myself to the house to try and unpack, get us settled. I did not struggle well. It took about 4 years of Amy, my wife, saying, you should go see somebody about this, before I finally was like, okay, fine, stop asking, I'll go see. You know, I'll go talk to somebody. And finally went and saw a doctor. And they were like, yeah, a scale of, you know, 1 to 10, you're a 9.5. Great, thanks, awesome. And I finally got some sort of relief and help at that time through the temporary care of medication. So in that, I want to transition us into the biblical view of anxiety. What does Scripture and the gospel say? How does that interweave itself into us here in anxiety? The anxious one, myself, is playing the prophet by looking into the possible futures and imagining what it might feel like to lose something we love. Therein, common anxiety develops when we fear losing something we find truly precious. It took many, many nights figuring out, why was I so sick in the hospital while my daughter was being born? One, I had no idea how to be a father. I was 23, no clue what I was doing. Two, I didn't want to lose either of them. My wife was not able to have a normal birthing process, had to have a C-section, nothing super emergency, but it's surgery, cutting her open. What I was valuing there was their lives and my life without them over trusting God. When things we have looked to for our security begin to unravel, we become anxious. Jesus does not promise security in the world, but he promises security in the kingdom of heaven. And in that, not only is God good, but he's also sovereign and in control. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And for my life, it's been security, control, and comfort. One thing that was super helpful for me as I was getting through and processing anxiety was digging into the Bible and seeing where is there anxiety within Scripture. Because the church had told me in the past, anxiety is a sin, or you not struggling well. So in 1 Kings 17 and 19, there's, I have a little case study on Elijah. Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. No moisture from God. Feels like June through September here in Texas, right? Where's the rain? And the word of the Lord came to him, depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of God. He went and lived by the brook Cherith, that is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. If God told you to go to the middle of West Texas, and he was going to provide you with drinking water and food, and you had nothing, I don't know about y'all, I'd be freaking out. I like to think I'm country. I'm not as country as I think I'm country. Moving into chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he rose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, where he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. Elijah had had enough. His control was gone. He didn't know what was going on. And he just wanted to lay under a tree and die. Sounded like me in college. I was laying in my bed, just ready to be done. I had actually, because we had no idea it was anxiety, I at 19 had already started writing my will and giving away the little things that I had to different people. Because I was at that place of, I'm done, I guess it's my time. Another spot in Scripture, a little more familiar, is going to be Luke 10 with Mary and Martha. The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled by many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Prior to this, Martha was running around the house, cleaning, trying to get things ready, make things nice for Jesus. Mary just sat at his feet. She just wanted time with him. And here Jesus is saying, time with me is more important. Your anxiousness away from me is not good. Billy Graham said it pretty well. Anxiety is the natural result when our hopes are centered in anything short of God and his will for us. If we take anything, car, house, spouse, job, hobby, Dallas Cowboys. If our hopes are centered in those things, they're not the right things. A friend gave me a book for Christmas called Finding Quiet. When stress becomes a habit mentally, emotionally, and physically, a default setting on our inner dial, then it becomes normal and we no longer notice its presence. But the stress is still there and it affects how we perceive, feel, and react to things in our lives. You might not feel the anxiety initially. You might not know it's there, but it will build and it'll erupt all at one time. For me, I had put myself so much of my life into athletics that I was going nowhere with, my identity having a girlfriend in college, thinking I was the coolest. Ultimately, that didn't matter. I haven't kicked a soccer ball in over decades. I haven't talked to her, my ex-girlfriend, since I was 19. Not important. Anxiety is a surface feeling that often hides deeper feelings: embarrassment, fear, grief, helplessness, hurt, loneliness, and sadness. Michael touched on it a little bit, but one of the first questions in the groups tonight is, how has anxiety affected you in your struggle? Whether it's with chemical dependency, anger, sexual struggles, trauma, loss, how has anxiety infiltrated into your experience there? So how can we apply the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, to anxiety? Fear is a big word with anxiety. A lot of times it's fear-based issues. But the wonderful thing is if we fear God, not as scared, hiding under a pillow, thinking he's going to come get us, but a right, true understanding of God and his sovereignty, it's going to be the beginning of wisdom. Part of that was me coming to recovery. My wife had been coming to recovery prior. I either stayed at home or at that time I was working retail, so maybe I was working those nights too. But she finally said, hey, you need to make this work. Like, you need to come center yourself on Christ. So what did I do? I talked to my boss. I said, hey, I can't work Wednesday nights anymore. Yes, it put a strain, but it was important I was here. At that time, the anxiety group had just started. I was just coming. I was coming to be fed. I didn't know what I wanted from it. I didn't know what I needed from it. I was just there waiting for God to show up. Thankfully, God is in control and is not controlling. God desires for us to come to him as he meets us in our fears and leads us to a better place of security. Jesus himself interacted with others with anxiety. I have it there, the story of the boat on the Sea of Galilee, storms coming, waves crashing. Jesus takes a nap. When things are going crazy in your life, you're just like, yep, I'm good, I'm just going to leave it. No, we're going to jump in, try and figure out what's going on, how we can solve it. We're going to try and fix it. They wake him up. He can use his divine power over all of creation and calms the storm. Jesus took with him those he was training to be champions of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and coaching them against despair. Jesus remained asleep in the boat until the apex of the storm, when those in the boat's skill was most tested. He permitted the storm that they might understand their true deliverer. His sleeping made it evident that he was still fully man, and his calming of the storm showed that he was fully God. So Christ today calms the waves surrounding the vessels of his people so as to provide an anticipatory signal that he will finally calm the crisis of shipwreck of all of humanity. So how can we practically live that out? What can we do? Sometimes in our anxiety group, we'll say, you know, someone hasn't been there for a while or life has just been really beating them down. Coming through that door is the win. It's not the end goal. It's not the prize. But sometimes you need to take that win. So for those of you here today that are in these seats, if that's you, take that win. Don't say you're not good enough. Don't say you didn't get there. You're not how these people are next to you. You made it in. What we'll get to later tonight in just a little bit is community. Community is key. We are created for community. We're created by community. And we're created to be in community. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. We're not meant to do this by ourselves. That old thought of can't tell anybody, no one needs to know the struggle, just bury it. Whether it's sin, chemical dependency, it doesn't matter what it is. God did not design us to be alone and to be isolated. We're also created by community, which is why we are created for community. Let us, the triune God, make man in our image after our likeness. Not God saying, I'm going to make man like me, our. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. We're also created to be in community. New Testament talks about spending time with others, stirring up one another to love and good works, not neglecting meeting together. So I love how no matter what, unless it's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, we're here, barring an ice storm that may or may not come. We regularly, consistently meet here in recovery because it is important to spend time together. So for me, what community looks like, obviously recovery here every Wednesday night. I drive up from Richardson, come here, have recovery, grab my daughter from childcare, and head back home. Yeah, most nights I don't get home till 10. Yeah, waking up at 5 in the morning on Thursday morning is real tough. But I can tell you when I'm not here Wednesday nights, I feel it more. Also, in a home group, so here at Citizens, there's home groups, different areas. They meet throughout the Metroplex. Every Sunday night, I'm there whether I'm feeling it or not. And sometimes just showing up is that win. But it's important to be there to support each other, to spur one another on, to confess sin to one another. Awesome. So what? So what is, what is that we can, should, and or need to take away from the last 40 minutes? Right. Talked a lot. This is probably the most I've talked at a single time in a long time. Don't tell my wife. Kidding. Anxiety is more than our circumstances. Last night, Sarah Beth had her first night terror. Came and woke us up at 2:29 this morning. Physically shaking. She probably went back to sleep faster than I did last night. But despite that, I could not just sit in that. I had to give that over to God because I could not control anything. Anxiety is more than biological. Yes, I still take medication for my anxiety. It helps, but it is not the answer, and it does not end it or save it. It is a tool and a common grace that God's given us. Same with counseling. Anxiety is not something to be hidden, ashamed, or silent about. That is the worst place to be. And if that's where you're at, don't hear me saying that's the worst place as a condemnation, but an invitation to talk to someone. Friend, spouse, coworker, come talk to me. And the gospel and Jesus change everything. If we did not have Jesus and the gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection, forgiving us of our sins, and God in control of everything sovereign, we would just be little hamsters on a wheel. Just hoping that our anxiety would go away. We would self-medicate. We would avoid. It's hard to put into words the gravity of it, while also knowing how sweet it is just to sit in it. God, thank you so much for tonight. I pray that the words shared were yours, that what you needed people to hear was heard. And if anything that I said was not of you or out of line with what you say or unimportant, God, that you would just wash that away. May that not stick. May your truth about our hearts and how you view us, may that stick. May we lean into you in our anxiety and not run away. Amen.